All right, welcome in everybody here. Another episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Super excited to be with you guys tonight. It is a Tuesday night, June 18th. Whenever you're listening via the podcast, YouTube, or Facebook, we truly do appreciate it. Make sure you're sharing the Hockey Talk Show to all your friends. Our home is HockeyTalkShow.com. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, let's go ahead and get those likes and shares in as soon as possible. Always helps us reach the most amount of hockey fans around. And don't forget to support the Hockey Talk Show. You can now do so for 99 cents a month. That is so little and tiny. And you could do it through Apple Pay or a credit card. 99 cents a month. There is a link in our description on Facebook, YouTube, and the podcast. We would appreciate any bit of support that you can do. You can go up to $4.99 or $9.99 a month. And don't forget, I mean, it's the only podcast that you can actually watch, see some visuals, talk hockey, interact, get the lowdown from a former employee of the National Hockey League and a current broadcaster. We love the show. We put our heart and soul into it. We would appreciate it if you guys can support in any way, shape, or form. All right. Let's get into it, man. Justin Braun traded today. Fallout from Erik Karlsson signing that mega max 8-year deal, $11.5 million. Doug Wilson is wasting no time reshaping this roster because 65 is in the mix now for the next 47 years. So 61 is out for 65. Traded to the Flyers. We'll break it down. Nick Leddy, is he the next defenseman to go? There's an Islander, Montreal Canadian rumor we will address. The NHL salary cap and where that's going and how it's going to affect teams and what they do over the next couple of weeks. Huge story there. NHL awards are Wednesday night. We'll take a look at the Hart Trophy race. Larry Brooks is still a dummy. Jacob Trouba following up on his trade yesterday to the New York Rangers. We'll address some of the concerns that he hated Winnipeg. And my five teams to watch, the teams that I think will be the absolutely most active in the offseason this year, five teams to watch this season, the trade free agency season, right here on tonight's episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Appreciate you guys being here with us on the program. Want to say hey to Def on YouTube, Gregory on Facebook. If you guys are in the chats, let me know where you're watching or listening from, what you want to talk about. We'll try and get to as much as we possibly can here. Another jam-packed show. Another fairly busy day in the National Hockey League. Okay, wasn't as busy as yesterday, but still, we have a trade. And any day where there's a trade is always a little exciting, always something going on.
We have a trade to announce.
Thank you, Gary Bettman. That's our official trade sounder.
We have a trade to announce.
And it's Justin Braun to the Philadelphia Flyers, who, spoiler alert, will be on my list of teams that will be the most active in the offseason this year. There is no doubt about it. Chuck Fletcher and the hierarchy over there in Philadelphia, they mean business. They want to get back to winning ways here in the National Hockey League. And if you're a Flyers fan, you got to love it. I mean, everybody concentrates on these slow rebuilds and everybody talks about building to the draft, and that's all well and good. And we all applauded the New York Rangers for taking the steps that they obviously needed to take in the rebuilding era and just kind of reconfiguring themselves. But the Philadelphia Flyers have been in this wasteland of, like, what are they doing? Are they rebuilding? Are they a top contender? It wasn't that long ago that they lost in the Stanley Cup Finals. You still have Claude Giroux, as we saw in the deadline this year. 17 made his way out of Philadelphia. So where are they with the firing of their general manager? Chuck Fletcher comes in now. And he is not going to be as patient. Clearly, he's not going to be as patient. He's going to move things in a little bit of a faster direction. And he's been busy so far this offseason. Acquiring Kevin Hayes in the deal with Winnipeg just to get the rights to speak with him was a bold move. That's an aggressive move by any general manager. Now we see another move here in the wake of Erik Karlsson signing with the San Jose Sharks. Justin Braun now a member of the Philadelphia Flyers. So we'll see 61 in orange and black this season. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Not a bad pickup whatsoever, too, on behalf of Doug Wilson and the San Jose Sharks. They get a 2019 second round draft pick, which is 41 overall, and a third round pick in the 2020 draft. So not too bad for a really good defenseman who is on his last year of a deal. And kind of the way Doug Wilson acquired Erik Karlsson in his last year, gave him some time to acclimate himself to the area. That's what Chuck Fletcher is doing here. I like this trade from both sides because, you know, you get a second and a third. These are quality picks for the San Jose Sharks. Obviously, a lot of their money has gone to Erik Karlsson now. With free agency on the horizon for Justin Braun, you got to really be active and really make your moves well in advance. Like, it's no longer a, you know, oh, I can just trade him at the deadline kind of thing. You're going to see these year out of free agency moves. You know, if a player is a year away from free agency, you're going to see some more of these trades. I think they're going to be a lot more commonplace in the National Hockey League for sure. So Justin Braun over to the Philadelphia Flyers. And like I said, yeah, we are totally seeing what the San Jose Sharks are going to be looking like now that we are in the Erik Karlsson era. And, you know, kudos to Doug Wilson because he's had to make some adjustments on his own. You know, Patrick Marleau moving out. They bring in number nine. Kane is in there now. Where do we go with Jumbo Joe? Where do we go with Little Joe Pavelski? I think Little Joe Pavelski gets, I don't think he's going to come back. I think a lot of his money went over to 65. So I think that's it for Jumbo Joe, and for Little Joe, I should say. And I think I think Joe Pavelski's got a good 2 to 3 years of hockey left in him. He's a great leader. He's a phenomenal forward. And I think he is going to be the delightful pickup of any National Hockey League team that makes a move on him. But as we look at the San Jose Sharks cap structure, they have $16 million worth of cap space as of right now, but they have a lot of free agents to make moves on. Nyquist, Thornton, Pavelski, Michael Haley won't get a lot of money, but he's still one of the free agents that's coming up for them. Timo Meier should get a nice little raise here. He's had a couple of good years. Kevin LeBlanc has been great in the playoffs for them this season. He is a restricted free agent, so he's got to get some money coming his way. They have Joakim Ryan, who's got to get some money as an RFA. And then down the road, Brendan Dillon is in his last year of his contract. So it looks like maybe the choice came down to Dillon or Braun, and Doug Wilson decided to go with Dillon. Because it looks like you're not going to be able to pay both of those guys, with Karlsson making $11.5 million, Brent Burns making $8 million, and the pickle man, Mark Edward Vlasic, making $7 million. That's $26.5 million on three defensemen. So San Jose kind of doing the opposite of what the Toronto Maple Leafs are doing. They're spending their money on defense, whereas the Maple Leafs locked up a hell of a lot of money on offense. And I think the Maple Leafs are even crazier than that, right? Because aren't they like $40 million in three players? Now I'm curious. I'm going to move over to capfriendly.com's look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah, well, $22 million between Austin Matthews and John Tavares. Nylander's making almost seven, so that's $29 million amongst three players. So that's more than San Jose's $26.5 million on their three players, and they still have to pay Mitch Marner. And Patrick Marleau is $6.25 million. We expect that to be moved off the books. And I wonder if that, I wonder also on this deal, if this does make it easier for Patrick Marleau to go out west and play for the San Jose Sharks once again. I doubt it. I think he winds up in Arizona, to be honest with you. I think that's a team that could really, really benefit from the leadership. They have the cap space for it. I just don't see with the Los Angeles Kings, like, buying out Dion Phaneuf and sort of making their maturation over to a different franchise than what they've been looking like the last couple of years. I can't see them taking on Patrick Marleau's $6.25 million. Not that they can for at least one season. It's only one season, but I don't know. I just doubt it. If I'm looking at a list of San Jose, the Kings, and the Arizona Coyotes. I'm putting it as Arizona, the Kings, and San Jose third to land Patrick Marleau's services. I just don't see it, you know, falling out any other way. Let's talk about Nick Leddy. I thought this was a really interesting trade rumor. A lot of these writers nowadays are speculating super hardcore, but when they hit on something that is sounds intriguing and could probably happen, I want to make sure that we get to it and that we talk about it. And that's what we got here today. Let's see. Nick Leddy. Yvon Pedneau from the Montreal Journal observed that there is some speculation linking the Montreal Canadiens to the New York Islanders defenseman Nick Leddy. The 28-year-old has 3 years remaining on his contract with an annual cap hit of $5.5 million. Pretty affordable, not too bad. He doesn't have no trade protection. He's fallen out of the Islanders' top two defensive pairings. And he is speculating that the Islanders could be shopping Nick Leddy. He also suggests it could cost the Canadiens Andrew Shaw and a second-round draft pick. I found it interesting that he named Andrew Shaw specifically and a second-round draft pick. A couple of reasons why I think this could happen. Yeah, it's true. Nick Leddy has fallen off a little bit. I think he's still one of the best puck-moving defensemen. If you ask me, I would prefer Nick Leddy at 5.5 than Erik Karlsson at 11.5. He's not going to score you as many points as Erik Karlsson, but he's also not going to come back and bite you in the rear end if he has an off season, because you're like, ah, whatever, it's $5.5 million. It's a pretty average salary for a defenseman. Lou Lamoriello is going to shape this team how he sees fit. Nick Leddy is not his guy. That was Garth Snow's guy. Obviously, there's an infusion of youth coming into the New York Islanders. Devon Toews made the team this year. Pelikan Pulock the last couple of years. And this year they took a big step. And you have Noah Dobson coming in this upcoming season, most likely going to make the team unless something drastic happens. So you have a really good infusion of youth in the Islanders' core, which might make him expendable. I wouldn't want to trade Nick Leddy. I would love to keep Nick Leddy. Even on a third defensive pair, I think he falls in the middle four. The middle two pairing, he's a top four guy. I still kind of like him there to move the puck around, be great in the offensive zone, be good on the power play. You know, when the Islanders were struggling and nobody was shooting, Leddy was kind of getting the shots across a little bit more, not as much as, you know, Johnny Boychuk, but he was doing it. He would be a huge help for the Montreal Canadiens. I think a huge help. Montreal Canadiens need some of that speed on the back end. Shea Weber's not that fast. You know, they got a little... You know, they got their issues on the back end. The Montreal Canadiens do. But anybody who can add a Nick Leddy, that's a good hockey trade. That's a good addition to your franchise. So if the Islanders do have an embarrassment of riches on the back end and they do decide to move a Nick Leddy, anybody who goes out and gets him, it's a good move. Alsner. See, now, I thought Alsner was bought out. That was reported earlier, but it still looks like he's listed on Cap Friendly with the Montreal Canadiens. But anyway, if he's there or not, you know, they have Victor Mete coming up now for the Canadiens. Shea Weber signed for a bunch of years. Jeff Petrie, Brad Kulak. Nick Leddy would slot in there really nice and really, really help their forwards get the puck up the ice faster. But what do you get back in return? Second round draft pick at the very least, at the very, very least. I do like an Andrew Shaw addition. He can score, got a little sandpaper, but you kind of have that already with that fourth line of Cizikas, Matt Martin, and Cal Clutterbuck. Cal Clutterbuck, obviously the more talented scorer in that equation. You wouldn't really notice by looking at this past year with Cizikas having the breakout offensive year that he had. So I don't know if Andrew Shaw makes sense. I do love that this reporter kind of cited him as the person coming back the other way, but I don't know if I would necessarily take that deal. You know, I would probably want to get somebody a little bit more who can help me. And if you're looking at the New York Islanders roster right now, especially if they're going to lose Anders Lee, and if they fall short in the free agent market, They need top six scoring. The Islanders need top six scoring. And they're going to need a guy who's going to fit into this locker room, which is obviously super, super tight knit. And I don't really know if the Montreal Canadiens have the pieces to give the Islanders the top six scoring that they need. They really don't appear to be. Thomas Tatar doesn't intrigue me whatsoever. Brendan Gallagher's had his issues in the past. The Canadiens are not trading Max Domi. They're not trading Kotkaniemi. You know, they're not trading Jonathan Drouin. You know, so I like the talk. But if I'm Lou Lamoriello and I'm dangling Nick Leddy and I have Joshua Hosang, you know, who's also a possibility, I better be getting back a really, really good forward in return. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they swap for one of these RFAs that are available. You know, I could see Leddy going the other way for one of the RFAs. I'm not even going to name one because I don't want to drive people crazy. But that I could see going back the other way. But again, if you're Lou Lamoriello, I have no problem trading for an RFA, but I got to be able to talk to him before we can make that deal work because I need to know he's going to sign, not giving up Nick Leddy whatsoever to come up shorthanded in a free agency situation. Let's see here. Why does the NHL just implement a soft cap? Teams over the cap should pay a tax. Because I think that you would have what essentially the New York Yankees do, which is like they could care less about the... What do they have in baseball? They don't have a salary cap. They have a luxury tax. And then the Yankees just spend... They just blow right past that and just pay. And that's what's going to wind up happening with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens and the New York Rangers. And it's fair, but it's not... I like the hard cap system. I think if you do go over the cap, though, you suffer a penalty. You can go over. You're just going to suffer a penalty. What that is, actually, I don't know. Let's see here. In a soft cap, it would be really hard for teams like St. Louis or Winnipeg to compete with Toronto. Yeah, see? There you go. Okay, just saying what I exactly just said. As an Islander fan, I'm broken. I'm a broken record here. Isles need to get Panarin, even if you overpay. I again disagree because I don't know. Again, locker room chemistry is going to be a big, big part of the Islanders offseason for me personally. That's going to be a huge part of the Islanders offseason for me is that locker room chemistry. I don't want to bring in, we just shed ourselves of John Tavares. I don't want to bring in another huge player that's going to garner all that attention and need all that stuff and then not, you know, not wind up producing. I like Panarin as a skilled player. I don't know if he's what the Islanders need. They got to be really, really smart about this and who they decide to bring in. And I think that Lou will definitely do that for sure. I think he'll definitely do that for sure. But Leddy to Montreal is interesting to me. And I think Leddy could become a great trade piece for the Islanders if they're getting back in return what they need, which is top six scoring all the way. Five teams. The Hart Trophy. Let's talk about this. Hart Trophy, NHL Awards, Wednesday night. Sidney Crosby, Nikita Kucherov, and good old 97, who is going to win plenty of Hart Trophies for the Edmonton Oilers in years to come. I think this is Nikita Kucherov's year. He just had an epic year. It was terrible what happened to the Tampa Bay Lightning in the playoffs. But as I look at my Hart Trophy, I mean, Nikita Kucherov, look at what this team did in the regular season. It was insane. Insane. I think that Connor McDavid is going to win a bunch of Hart Trophies, and I think I'd like to see Sidney Crosby win one more before he goes, but he's not going anywhere anytime soon. We got a bunch more years of 87 in Pittsburgh, so I think we're just fine there. But my Hart Trophy prediction, 86 over 87. Speaking of Tampa Bay, they locked up Braden Coburn for 2 years. He'll average out $1.7 million a year. So congratulations to him. Let's see here. We talked about a lot of stuff. We covered a lot of stuff on the Hockey Talk Show. I apologize for the sound issues. Any last questions? Let's get them in now as we wrap things up here. Leddy to Montreal, we discussed. Joe Haggerty is reporting that Bruins general manager Don Sweeney didn't outright reject the notion of trading Torrey Krug this summer, but but he did indicate that he would have to receive a mind-blowing offer to consider it. I concur with that. Krug's had his best year so far. He's been up and down. And again, like I said earlier in this episode, he's a year away from free agency. So a lot of teams are going to make these decisions now as opposed to later on, because you're going to get into a scenario where you're going to get beat on price when it comes to the trade deadline. Let's just take Torrey Krug as an example here. If he lays an egg this year and is terrible, and the Bruins fall out of it, which I doubt either of these things will happen, but let's just play for fun. You know, you have a free agent. It's not going well. He's pending. You're going into the end. He's not as valuable to you just playing the final 2 months of the season with a team and then a playoff run as he is right now. You can get him on a team. Teams are going to pay more for that player right now. You're going to get beat up on price come the trade deadline. So if there is going to be a move from Torrey Krug, I do think it'll be this offseason. Hard to justify that, though, when he helped you get to the Stanley Cup Finals. So I think Krug stays in Boston. And I think, you know, Don Sweeney has done a really good job at negotiating good deals, getting huge players and not paying them or overpaying them. And they have a great locker room vibe there. So I think Krug stays. I hope he has a good year. I hope he levels off and stays at the potential that we all think he is destined to be at. Mike McIntyre believes more changes are coming for the Winnipeg Jets following the trade of defenseman Jacob Trouba to the New York Rangers. Jets GM Kevin Cheveldayoff faces a potential salary cap crunch with Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor, and Andrew Kopp still to re-sign. McIntyre notes there are plenty of trade rumors swirling around left wing Nikolaj Ehlers. If Ehlers is moved, McIntyre suspects it will be more of a hockey trade to address specific roster needs for a center or a defenseman. Five teams to watch for me this offseason: Minnie, Winnie, Philly, Toronto. And my fifth place is a cop-out here, a little bit of a tie between Columbus and Vancouver. Those, to me, are going to be the most active teams. But the Philadelphia Flyers grabbing Kevin Hayes, buying out Andrew McDonald, now they get in Justin Braun, they're going to be the ones that are going to be driving a lot of trains here. We all talk about, here's a great question from AK, Panarin or Bobrovsky to Florida? You know, John wants Panarin to go to the Islanders. What's stopping the Philadelphia Flyers from throwing some money at Artemi Panarin? What's stopping them? Nobody's talking about it, but I'm looking at my Philadelphia Flyer roster and I got $30 million in cap space. And if Artemi Panarin wants nine of that, I can make that work. I love Wayne Simmonds, but Panarin on this team, with the scoring power that's already there with Voracek, Giroux, and Van Riemsdyk, you got a real offensively skilled team to worry about now. Not a lot of sandpaper with Artemi Panarin, but do you really need it? You know, do you really need it? You got enough rough guys on that team that'll handle their business. Panarin to the Flyers makes a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. And I don't know why they're not going to, be checking that out. Now, the rumor was is Panarin wanted to go to a big city because his wife, girlfriend, fiance, not really sure, wants to do the actress / modeling thing. Ain't nothing wrong with Philly for that. By the way, Philly, hour and 15 to New York City. Not a big deal whatsoever. You can do all that kind of stuff. You know, plenty of Philadelphia Flyers, have spots in New York City. So that's not a big deal whatsoever. Panarin to Philly makes a lot of sense to me. A whole hell of a lot of sense. Makes that team super dangerous. And it also makes the Toronto Maple Leafs look really bad because they'll have a lot of great scorers for a lot less money than what the Toronto Maple Leafs are paying their top four scorers. So my five teams to look out for: Minnie, Winnie, Philly, Toronto, Columbus / Vancouver. I think Bobrovsky to Florida just makes a lot of sense. I think you've got to overpay Bobrovsky because the Florida Panthers with Coach Q down there now Bobrovsky makes them a legit playoff team and a chance to really do some damage in the playoffs. I've been thinking the Flyers might go after Panarin, says Psalmist Bob, but I don't think he will sign there as a Flyer fan. I hope he comes here, but I honestly think the Rangers or the Panthers get him. Well, let's take a look at it. You know, I can't argue with the Panthers thing, especially if he follows Bobrovsky, his pal. Panthers are legit lethal. They're one piece away, Bobrovsky, from being a really good team. Bobrovsky and Panarin, they're out of sight good. So I can't argue with that. But if I'm Panarin, I'm going to suffer through at least a year or two of the Rangers being competitive. At least. Now, maybe he wants to be built around, again, wife, girlfriend, whatever, actress and model stuff. Okay, not going to argue with that. The Rangers, obviously, and they got the cap space. It's a great situation. Great situation. But the Philadelphia Flyer thing is intriguing, too. I mean, really intriguing, you know? And they might be able to pay him a little bit more than what the Rangers are willing to pay him. They have the money. Claude Giroux is signed to 22. Voracek to 24. Van Riemsdyk to 23. Couturier to 22. Like, you know where this team is for the next 3 years. Especially if you get creative with the contract. Could be a lot of good money up front for Artemi Panarin. A lot of good money up front. All right, that's it for us for tonight. Apologize for the sound issues. Again, contribute to the Hockey Talk Show if you can. We have a new subscription service where you can support us for as low as 99 cents a month. $4.99 in the middle row, $9.99 if you're a super Hockey Talk Show fan. We will be back really soon for some more trade rumors, UFA rumors, RFA rumors. What's Winnipeg going to do? Where does Mitch Marner wind up? Do the Islanders make some moves now that Lou Lamoriello has had 1 year under his belt? Where are the Philadelphia Flyers going to spend that $30 million? What's Columbus going to do with all their guys and their mass exodus? Still a lot of great Hockey Talk Show topics to come. Make sure you guys are subscribed on Facebook, YouTube. Make sure you're rating us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And make sure you guys hop on that subscription for at least 99 cents a month. I really would appreciate that. Have a great night, everybody. I will see you on the next shift.